Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. I hope you had a fantastic week. I'm so excited for our guest this week. Her name is Janelle Genestra. She is a fantastic artist, choreographer, dancer, fitness instructor, just such a grounded, passionate, fucking alpha female. So we kind of talk about her upbringing and her early life and her new fitness product called Naughty Girl Fitness and where you can find more information regarding that. And just about, you know, typical things as an artist, particularly as a dancer, your love for dance, your why, being authentic and sticking to who you are as an artist, especially if you don't feel like you fit in, and how a lot of us don't feel like we fit in. We also talk about her visual diary. It's called To Janelle from Janelle. So you could kind of think about this as like a concept video. It's up on YouTube, and it's kind of her documenting the pain and the joy of a death rebirth transformation process that she went through. And you know, we talk about that and how you know, without pain there really is no change, and what we can learn from our setbacks, self-awareness, how to turn a negative into a positive. I just feel incredibly humbled by being able to have her on the show. She really is someone I look up to. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get into the episode. I'd like to welcome Janelle Genestra on the show.
Welcome to the show, Janelle.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. You're someone I've been following for a while, and I just admire your message. I admire what you're doing with Naughty Girl Fitness and just your dance pieces very much.
Thank you so much. I'm happy that it inspires you, because that's why I do what I do, to help myself and to hopefully help and inspire others.
Totally. And it's evident that that is like your intention. And I totally feel inspired when I watch your pieces.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you. So I want to hear about your early life. Like, when did Janelle start dancing? Was there any other movement styles that she did?
Okay, so I started dancing when I was 2. And I lived in the Bay Area, California. And I went to, I guess when I was 1.5, my mom took me to watch like a family member in a dance recital. And she told me that like, I would not stop bothering her saying, I want to do that. So she's like, I don't even know if 2-year-olds can go to dance class. But I was super hyperactive. So she was like, I need to put this little crazy girl in something. So she took me, and they're like, oh, I'm sorry, we only take 4-year-olds. And she's like, yeah, but she's off the wall. She's like, she can even do a cartwheel. I was like flipping at 2, doing cartwheels and shit. And they're like, oh damn, all right, we'll take her. So I started dancing when I was 2, and I started with tap, jazz, and ballet. And I danced until I was about 7. And then when I was 7, I told my mom I wanted to be an actress. And so she is just supportive and like believed in me and believed in my dreams. And like, I really had a voice my entire life. She never made me feel like a kid. She always allowed me to say what I wanted to do, and she supported that. So luckily I had a parent like that, because I know some parents would be like, well, you can figure that out and move when you're 18, right? So I moved to LA and was a child actor from the time I was 7 until about 12. And I'm really happy I got to explore that passion and voice within me, because I feel like I use a lot of that vulnerability to expose my emotions within my dance and creating art. I'm not really afraid to play a role that lives within myself. And so I'm happy I did that. And then when I was 12, my mom wanted me to have a normal upbringing. And so she moved me to a town called Modesto, which was very different, huge shift, but completely vital and necessary to who I am today. Because as many child actors know, when you grow up in LA, it can be very sheltered, and you could just be very, you're just used to like, you know, focusing on you and booking the job and getting the job, how you act on the job, how everything is just very like very scheduled and, I don't know, just a sheltered life. And so when I moved to Modesto, I went to public school for the first time. And that was a freaking huge rude awakening because I was like, holy shit, people want to beat my ass. They think I'm a fake bitch. And like, I don't know. It just really, really shaped me, cultured me, and made me realize how I can speak to people, how I want to make people feel, and how I want to, I really figured out that I wanted to be an inclusive person. I really liked all the different people. Like, I liked that all of us were so different, and I really wanted to celebrate that. And it really, really changed me in the most beautiful way. And in high school, I was a competitive cheerleader, and I really fell in love with the idea of teamwork, even though I still was competitive and like always wanted to be the best. But I still liked that camaraderie of being on a team and winning as a team. And so, yeah, I did that. And then but when I turned 18, I knew that I wanted to be a professional dancer. So I moved out, moved to LA when I was 18 by myself. And here I am. I've figured some things out, I guess you could say.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That experience of like going to public school. I have one friend, he was homeschooled all throughout until college. And he told me that like the learning curve.
It's just so different. Like, it's so different. You really figure out how to work and function in society. Like, I really think it's so important to be amongst a mix of races, cultures, ethnicities, different backgrounds. Like, it really is like, it really shapes you as a human. Besides traveling the world, that's the other best learning curve you can have, is traveling the world and actually freaking seeing it and being in it. But yeah, public school will do that for you as well.
Yeah, definitely. And public school is so, I mean, depending on how many kids are in your school, can be actually very competitive.
Oh yeah.
Like a lot of kids, like everyone, not everyone, but for the most part, everyone wants to be the best, whether you're in cheer or your dance, or even if you're swimming or on the track team, like there really is that sense of competition. And I could definitely see that being such a rude awakening, because that sheltered bubble life, you know, you forget that you're in a sea with others.
Yeah. No, it's true, because you're so focused on your goals and your dreams. And you see the same people over and over. So as like, I'm, you know, I'm half Mexican. Well, I'm a quarter Mexican, quarter Spanish, and half Italian. But what I'm trying to say is you see the same five white girls at the auditions. It just becomes very the same. We're all competing for the same role. We're all doing the same thing. And then, you know, when you get thrown into a mix of like a whole melting pot, you're like, oh my gosh, like, it's not all about me. It's not all about my dreams. It's not all about what I want to do. Like, you, I don't know. You just see a lot more beauty in life. You really do. And in a lot more ugly.
Definitely.
A lot more ugly too.
Absolutely. I think a big part of enlightenment for me, my enlightenment journey, just as a human, having a human experience on this earth, was recognizing that like people think differently than I do. There are different opinions than I have.
Yes.
And being able to like fathom and process that and be like, oh, they think this way because of the experiences that they had growing up, which are completely different from mine.
Exactly.
But we're both right.
We are both, you know? Right. And I like to learn, and I like to hear about people's experiences and the differences of how we were brought up. And I want to be humble and grounded enough to not think that I am right, or the way I think is the better way to think. Like, no, it's just a different way.
I totally get that grounded energy from you, like very earthy, very grounded, and just very like curious. And I think curiosity is such a huge pointer to like where that person is in like their humble pie scale, you know?
Yeah, I really appreciate that, because I really genuinely don't think any of us are better than anybody. I think that some of us are just more confident enough to show it.
Totally.
And we all have that special ability. We just have to find what that specialness is, and whether that's on a grand scale or whether it's just being the freaking best like greeter at Walmart, everybody has their purpose in a way of affecting somebody's life. It's just whatever platform it's chosen to be on. And that's just what gets people exposure. And that's what makes people feel small, is seeing people so big, but they don't realize that they have that bigness within them. They just maybe don't know how to use it.
Yeah. It's like Jay-Z said in an interview I never forgot, everyone has genius level talent.
Yes.
Everyone in some way has genius level talent.
Totally.
And it's just like if you take a fish out of water, they will look ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
I love that.
Me too.
So I was telling Janelle before the interview, I don't really know where I'm at with dance and stuff like that. My passion for fitness has ironically been reignited. So I want to hear anything and everything you want to share about Naughty Girl. So fast forward to now.
Yes.
That's what you're doing.
So I obviously, if anybody follows me and knows me, fitness is like, oh my gosh, it is like a saving grace, a lifesaver, and something that just makes my day better. I trained for a really long time with a personal trainer to really like figure out how to train my body and just how to train for a strong body in general. And I fell in love with it. And when this pandemic happened and, you know, I found out that, hey, I cannot, you know, necessarily always rely on dance or be on a dance job. And I was working out in my garage and I'm like, damn, my workouts are really fun. Like I make this so entertaining for myself. Gyms are closed. I work out to this music and I make the choruses the same. And I do fun things to keep me entertained. I'll shake my ass in between a burpee. Like, I'm like, why? And I would post some of the things and people really enjoyed it. And I'm like, why would I not share just the way I do fitness with people if they are interested in maybe it as well? And maybe that would be a way for them to work out that they could really enjoy. So I created Naughty Girl Fitness to explore that avenue and explore a new purpose in my life. And so I was not utilizing my TikTok, and my sister-in-law was like, girl, just post one of your fitness things on TikTok and see how it does. And I'm like, oh my gosh, okay. You know, because I'm older and I always was like, oh God, I can't get on here and like learn these TikTok dances. It's just not, it doesn't feel authentic to me, right? No bashing to anybody that does it. It just doesn't feel Janelle. So I'm like, let me post my workouts. And then I woke up and it had like 800,000 views. And I was like, holy shit. Like, okay, maybe people do like this whole Naughty Girl Fitness thing and like the way I work out. And so I just continued to post them and got a really good response. And so I'm like, let me turn this into something, because if I don't want to just say I make people feel inspired through dance. I make people feel inspired through movement, regardless, right? That is my purpose. Mm-hmm. And so I built a website. I have people doing Naughty Girl Fitness with me. There are testimonials of people losing 30, 40 pounds and them feeling sexy again and them feeling great. And I'm like, this is a part of why I am here. To get people moving, feeling good, feeling sexy, and changing their mindset and their bodies while doing it. So totally. It has been a really awesome journey for me. And like I was explaining to you, we forget that we are talented at multiple things. And just because I have focused so long and hard on dance and choreography, it is like taken all of my time and focus. Let me think about how I'm trying to get this out. And I did not even explore the idea of using my other passions to create something, you know, amazing for other people and lucrative for myself. I don't have to necessarily fight and play in this chasing game of waiting for the next job. It can be exhausting. And also it removed me from the rat race of the industry. And I'm now in my own lane, in my own purpose, and waking up and knowing that I am doing something solely just for myself and something I created. And that is a beautiful feeling.
I love that. I just got the chills, because I think what any human can ever want for any other human is like self-actualization, or, you know, self evolving or stepping into one's purpose. And purpose to me isn't necessarily like a job. It could be like, I really like plants. Like, it's within my purpose to have plants in my room.
Exactly.
It's within my purpose to, you know, fashion. I like fashion. That's within my purpose. and inspiring is a huge thing, and like helping people. And there's just gave me the chills. I wanted to say, I think as dancers, we forget how blessed we are with having such a strong kinesthetic relationship with our body.
Oh, yeah.
So when back in the day when I was like a full-time trainer, I trained a lot of dancers and I trained a lot of non-dancers. And dancers were so ridiculously easy to train. Like if I said, move your left toe to the right an inch, they could do it.
Yep.
And I grew up dancing for the most part. I mean, I started a lot later. I didn't really get to go to a studio growing up, but you know, I always had that natural rhythm and I never realized that there are some clients that would walk through the door who literally did not know how to feel their own hips, their own feet, their own. And that's when it hit me that like the journey is so much deeper. You're helping someone increase their relationship with their own
body. I know. And people feel so like weird to grab their own boob or to touch their butt and to grab their hips. And maybe it's because they've looked at it with disgust for so many years. And that's what is like, that's what's scary. And that's what I want to change. If your body can move and it is healthy and you have the ability to wake up and use it for that day, like let's freaking use it. And I'm not saying you need to be the most in shape person. You don't need to be skinny. You don't need to have a six pack. I'm not saying that. I'm saying grab your thigh, love your thigh. And you know, as a woman, we fluctuate in weight. Girl, I can gain 13 pounds in a week. I'm not lying. Like if I want to go on a mission to gain all that weight, I can. But I have finally come to a place in my life where even when I'm 13 pounds heavier, I still love me and I still will grab me and love it because it's my body and it's working for me. And I know that if I went on a diet, I can get it off if I wanted to, but that's within that journey. And I want to help people feel that way.
That's true body piece is what you just said is like, do I prefer to put the 13 on? No. But if I did, would I still love myself and not spiral? Yeah, like I could do that.
Yeah, you know? And that's really finding peace within because ultimately I did it to myself, right? I know what I'm putting into my mouth. And so I can't torture myself just because I had a little bit of fun and was a normal human. You know what I mean? Like, and I definitely don't want to be, that's what I really stand for. Because on my Naughty Girl Fitness tapes, I fluctuate. Sometimes I look really fit and in shape. And sometimes I look like I might have had a week where I ate a little bit. But I don't want to be the trainer that stands up there with a six pack because that's not who I am every time. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Underneath a little bit of my love is a six pack probably because I'm strong as hell. But totally. That love comes with me being Janelle and me not being afraid to say, I eat pizza when I freaking want pizza.
I have to tell you, I would always tell people who want that washboard six pack life, you are not drinking any alcohol. You are very rigid about your sleep. You're probably not going out and partying at all.
Yep.
You probably are not having even as much fruit as you want.
Yes.
And like when we look at these professional athletes, I don't think people recognize the level of supervision they are under. Like, I don't know if it's specifically NFL and their training camps that have like a sensor underneath their mattress so that they are woken up. A, their sleep data is completely monitored, how much they had REM, how much they didn't, but they're specifically woken up in the best stage to be woken up. The right temperature, the right lighting, like it's just, it's not a sustainable life, like having that.
No. And you know, it's made for some people. I know some, you know, fitness trainers that really, really love to be the healthiest and scheduled and focused and determined person. But I allow myself to be myself. And I know that I like to drink tequila and I like to eat Mexican food and that's just me. But I also love fitness too, you know?
And you can do both.
And you can do both.
You can do both.
Yeah.
So where can we find not more about Naughty Body or subscribe?
It is www.naughtygirlfitness.com. And if you want to see okay. little promos, you can go to my TikTok, which is my name, at Janelle Genestra. And we have a Naughty Girl Fitness Instagram at naughtygirl.fitness. And you can just see kind of what we're up to and what we're doing. And I really believe in just the message. And the workouts are a lot of fun. They are challenging, but they are a lot of fun.
Do you program it yourself?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah.
I love that. I will say, like, the trainers who people love to take from in the previous gym that I worked at, shout out to Mark Fisher Fitness in NYC, were trainers who were dancers. Oh. Because which most of the trainers were typically, like, former professional touring dancers. But it was, like, the music. Dancers just know how to sync music to movement.
Totally.
In a way that is just magic.
Yeah.
And everyone who took the class, it was like fucking ecstasy for them.
I know.
Loved it.
I know. And that's what I try to, not try. That's what I do in Naughty Girl Fitness. I always say I create moving masterpieces to make people feel something, you know? And then I'm just so energetic. Totally. So I'm just like, let's fucking go. You know?
Yeah, definitely. It's such a good outlet. Yeah. And the world of fitness is so much kinder than the world of dance.
Yeah.
So for anyone who's listening, who, like, you know, is thinking about taking their fitness a little bit more seriously or diving into that world, it really is such a different world. The narrative of so many people is just, I want to help people. That's really it. It's not like anything that is, and it's can be a very radically inclusive environment. And it's so much deeper than just working out. Like, it could be your antidepressant. It could be something that just helps you stand a little taller.
Yep.
It's critical. Okay, sweet. So let's pivot a little bit.
Okay.
Let's talk about one of your more recent dance pieces to Janelle from Janelle.
Okay.
So I fucking love this, by the way. It's so good.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I wanted to create to Janelle from Janelle as a diary to myself that I could look back at as a huge, huge pivotal and transitional moment in my life. So just a visual diary, if you will. And I really made it for myself because I needed to release everything that I had been going through. Being someone in the public's eye, you get to not always pick and choose what people know about you. And they kind of go through your journey with you. And I do want to maintain my privacy while I do go through things. But I also wanted to allow people just a feel of what that transformation and transition and emotional roller coaster I went through may have looked like and felt like. And so, and again, for me in 10 years to go back and be like, damn, look at that baby Janelle, and how she transformed and how she came out of it, and how proud of her I am.
Yeah. How painful is the death? I call it, and not just me, it's like a common thing in the spirituality community, but death, birth, and transformation process.
Yes.
It is so fucking painful.
No, it's painful. But without pain, there's no change. And I fully believe that, like, I'm a believer in God, and I believe that God only does those things for people that he knows can handle it. But not necessarily, because some people do crumble and then hopefully find their way out. I personally know somebody that has crumbled and has not been able to find their way out. But I have learned from watching those around me and knowing how I need to come out of things and how I know that I can be strong and pull myself out of something and not always play victim and woe is me. I do have those days and I allow myself those days, but also why did this happen and what can I learn from it and how the F can I be stronger? And to be aware, oh my God, that's the biggest thing. to be more aware and in tune with myself so it does not happen again. That is like the biggest thing. That's the biggest learning lesson. Like, I watched service this morning and it was about, do I even know me fully yet? Or am I still in the process of finding me? And was I not me then to realize what was happening around me to not know? Do you know what I mean? And so,
yeah.
And it's like, I'm in the process of still finding me and I cannot ever be mad at me for not fully being me. So I don't know. It's just it's an interesting journey, but I am thankful for everything that did happen and me to find truth, and for me to be on this new journey of focusing and finding Janelle.
It's a critical catalyst.
Yes.
Of, you know, like how bad it gets. And it's like wrapping up a karmic cycle. Like anyone will keep cycling through as long as they're not aware, as long as they don't ask that question, like, what do I need to do for this to not happen again?
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me to not cycle through whatever karmic lesson, and that karmic lesson can be addiction. It could be just failing. It could be anything, you know, that you don't want going on in your life anymore. And it's like, it's so, to me, when I hear like everything you just said, it's so spiritually mature.
Thank you.
Whether, you know, any religious practice that you follow, or if you're more secular, I feel like no matter the teachings, it all really boils down to like these principles of like, how can you transmute the pain into power? Or mm-hmm. how can you shift from the victim mentality, which like, I will throw me a pity party, like anyone who knows me knows that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot more power in being like, what can I learn from this? My soul is being tested.
Totally.
How can I rise to this? Oh my God, I wanted to tell you, I watched The Matrix for the first time finally.
Yeah.
And have you ever seen it?
Oh my God, girl, years ago. So I don't know anything besides the lean back move.
Oh my God. I've known that move before the film, totally forgot about it. And then I finally saw it in the movie and I was like, oh my God, this is what like everyone has always been talking
about.
Yeah,
it's like,
okay. Epic. So like a little bit of a background and like, sorry about the spoiler. It's not too much of a spoiler, but basically like humans are controlled by AI, by artificial intelligence.
Yep.
Humans created AI, and what happened was the AI became like so intelligent that it started using us humans as batteries because we emit so much energy.
Mm.
And the protagonist awakens from being a human in a sack being used as a battery.
Wow.
And there are these like secret agents that keep the humans asleep so that the AI, they work for the AI, so that the AI could keep using them as batteries. And the artificial intelligence created like a simulation for humans to just think that like life is going well. And it's basically the world that we live in.
Mm.
And the secret agent was telling Neo, the protagonist, he was like, AI actually simulated a world for us humans without pain and suffering, but the humans couldn't survive.
Mm.
They needed the pain and suffering to help define who they are, what they need, what they want.
Totally.
So that simulation, the human species was dying off without pain and suffering.
Yeah. I mean, and that makes sense. I mean, it just makes sense, right?
Yeah.
We discover our values, what means most to us, the meaning of life, through pain and suffering, without death, without people, you know, going in and out of our life and us losing people, us losing ourselves. Sometimes we can't appreciate what we have. And the greatness in that, or in those times or in those moments. So I completely can understand and agree with that. Life would feel weird if everything was running great all the time and there was no bad things that happened. That would be weird. And even though we want that, I have now accustomed my life to knowing this is life. Something bad is going to happen. Like, whether that just be my, for instance, my sprinklers breaking. So before I would be like, oh my God, like, of course this is happening to me. Like, my sprinklers broke.
Right.
And it's like, no, bitch, your sprinklers are going to break because that's what happens in life. Like, I can't wake up every day and expect everything to go smoothly and everything to go well. No, baby, this is life. You, and that now you need to figure out who you call to get your sprinklers fixed. So then you're prepared for next time when it breaks again, because it's going to happen again. And
totally.
And that's a really cool thing to be at peace with.
Yeah. Instead of having that like constant expectation of like things to go smoothly,
yes,
which is not realistic.
It's not. And you know, and I think that as we continue to learn, things can go more smoothly, but then, you know, you prepare. If you're getting older, that means everybody else around you is getting older, and like things are just going to happen, and we have to live in knowing that that will happen, and to love and appreciate each day. And I'm saying that, but that's not always the case. I have days where I am not my best self, and I don't always wake up with that energy, but majority of the time I really try to. I really do.
I think that's also a part of enlightenment and ascension, like ascending spiritually, is recognizing that it is like that. I just bought a new car, and I bought a new car so that I don't have issues, because I drove a piece of shit until I was 25. And the battery just died yesterday. It's a 2019. I drove it new off the lot. And I was like, what the fuck? I was just leaving a restaurant.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I take care of this thing like crazy. I never run it unless it's on, because I'm so anal about like battery or whatever. Yeah. It died. And when the tow truck driver picked me up, he was like, I brought 5 other Honda Civic coupes to the dealer this week alone. He's like, the car's great, but there's something wrong with the battery. It was all for battery. And I was like, you know what I mean?
I know. And you know, sometimes you're like, oh my God, this always happens to me. And it's like the other 5 people that day thought the same thing, and it's happening to all of us. And that's the beautiful thing. Like, we are not ever in anything alone. What has happened to me is not the first time it's happened to somebody. And there's strength and beauty in that. There's strength in numbers. And it's like, okay, I can get through this, because I'm not the only person that's had to get through this. And by that example, I am going to be fine. And today will be fine. And guess what? I can buy a new battery. It's not that deep.
Totally. It's not that deep. And you know what? I think that I wonder if like we have that perception that things should be perfect all the time, because we don't really share like the mishaps. And what's so amazing, to bring this full circle back to your visual diary of To Janelle from Janelle, you shared that like butterfly process, that moon phase, that death, rebirth, transformation process in a way where like it was so artistic, and you were still able to keep like the details that you wanted private. But like, I could watch that and I could be like, she went through it.
Yes.
And she found the light.
Mm-hmm. No, and you know, I did, and I have, and there are still dark days in my light. But I know that they are temporary, and they are not going to hold me back from becoming my fullest beam of light.
Totally. So what advice do you have for dancers today, or dancers who maybe doubt themselves but love the craft? What, for someone who's been in the industry as long as you have, and for as well accomplished as you are, what words of wisdom do you have now?
Oh man, I mean, it's been, you know, dance is the love of my life. It really provides something to me that no one, nothing else can do for me. And specifically in this industry, being in it, being here in LA for over 12 years, I have had to be okay with like working so fucking hard and reinventing myself, and finding that timelessness within me, and not, hold on, let me really think about this before I just mumble. I will never get caught up in a trend. Like, I am so much more than a trend. I am so much more cool to me than following what is cool now. I will not like start dancing like everybody else because that's the cool thing to do. I will not start dressing like everybody else because that's the way to dress. I like will always stay true to me. And I feel like that is why I have and will last as long as I do, because I don't try to fit in with a mold. I just am fucking unapologetically me. And you need to be okay. And whether you are cool now and whether you are trendy now, don't lose yourself so much in that, to where you don't stop trying to identify and find the version of you, if that makes sense. You always want to be confident and stand strong in knowing that you are an individual, but you are capable of moving or working or being in a room with many other people. Also, what I really, really stand strong in believing is how you make other people feel. Fuck the dance part completely, and how you treat others in a dance space. If you are a choreographer or director, how you run your dance space and making sure everybody feels seen, validated, and irreplaceable. Because that is what is going to leave a mark on people, is how you treat them, not just by how you dance. And that's something I really always want to ensure that I do, because I could get in a car accident tomorrow and I could not be able to walk and move anymore. But how the fuck am I still going to get my message and my passion and my art across by not being able to physically do it? Or how many people will still stand by me and be on my team and want to move for me if I'm not capable of doing it? It's the relationships I've built, and it's the people, how I've made people feel is what matters. And so that's what's most important to me.
Yeah. Community is so critical. Oh my God. It's so critical.
It is.
And just the core of your why, and like always drawing, it's so easy to get lost in the fog of everything that we talked about in this episode.
Yep.
But if you have the ability, which I think most of us do, just to draw on it, to pull back to the core of your why, or that love that you have, like you said, it's the love of your life. Like, no matter what phases the industry does go to, which we are in a wild time right now, especially, the love that you have is still, it's untouched by that. It's irrelevant to that.
It is. And like we were talking about before we got on, sometimes I don't feel like I fit in. Sometimes I know a lot of people don't feel like they fit in. But am I going to just let go of my dream and what makes me feel like me just because I'm not fitting in at the moment? No, fuck that. I'm going to make my own in. I will create my own in. I will do what I need to do just for myself. And whether that speaks in the industry or not, I am still living my purpose for and with God and within myself. So yeah.
And that's all that matters. I'm so curious. Do you struggle with like imposter syndrome ever?
What is that?
It's like when you feel like, it's something that I struggle with dance. For example, because I didn't like go to a studio when I was younger, I feel like a fraud. And I feel like if I fuck up a little bit, it's like I'm exposed. And I was just curious if that's something that you struggle with. I wouldn't think so, because you've trained for so long, but you know, a lot of people still struggle with imposter syndrome.
I can say this. I don't feel like I am the most trained in hip hop. So I learned hip hop choreography. I did train, like when I was in LA, I took a ton of hip hop classes, took from, you know, Dave and Shane back in the day, and Wade. I took from all of them. Did I take poppin' classes? No. Did I take house classes? No. Do I have hip hop technique and fundamentals that a lot of other people do? No. So when I teach a hip hop class, does it make me feel like I'm not as qualified as those people? Yes. But does that mean I can't do it? I mean, no, right? Because I do understand the movement of hip hop. I have trained in hip hop, but do I stick to more what I know, like jazz funk? I feel completely knowledgeable and I've done jazz my entire life and I have totally devoted so much time into studying jazz funk and what that is. Yes, I feel more comfortable doing that. But I feel like as an artist, I'm allowed to express however the fuck I want.
Totally.
And so yeah. If anybody has an opinion, that's their opinion. But if I want to dance to a hip hop song and do my own interpretation of it, why the fuck can't I? I'm not teaching poppin' classes, right? I would never do that because I don't know the fundamentals of poppin'. But I feel comfortable teaching my interpretation of art or just doing it for myself, not even teaching it.
Fuck yeah. Oh, I love that. That's such a nice cap. So where can we find you for anyone who wants to just, you know?
You can find me up in Burbank, boo. No, I'm just playing. No, you can find me on Instagram at Janelle Genestra. You can find me on YouTube at Miss Janelle G. What else do I got? That's mainly the only things I really dabble in. Oh, and of course on TikTok, you can find me at Janelle Genestra.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm there.
Definitely check the YouTube, check the TikTok, and of course Instagram too.
Yes.
But, the YouTube is such good content.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on. This was so lovely.
I'm so glad to be here and to have spoken with you. You are so lovely and I really appreciate it.